The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
Jesus was born to be a king. When Jesus was before Pilate on trial for his very life, he said that he was born to be a king. For this cause came I into the world. For that purpose he was born. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. It is of a later time and a later world. It'll be at the end of this world. That's why he talked about the end of the world, when his kingdom will come. Jesus was born to be a king. His parables were about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this and like that. He was preaching the kingdom of God.
Jesus Christ was born to be king. He preached about the kingdom of God. His parables were about God's kingdom. That's Herbert Armstrong, by the way, speaking back in the 1960s or 70s on his program, The World Tomorrow, talking about a time when this age or this world ends, and then God's kingdom, God's world, begins. Why don't you hear more about this in the world of traditional Christianity? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and yet few preachers even preach about the coming kingdom of God, or they spiritualize it away, saying that, well, it's just a feeling that you have in your heart. Preachers, I mean, they'll talk about this world, this present world. Paul said it was an evil world. And you hear preachers talking about this world as if it's just going to continue right on forever. That's not what Jesus taught. The disciples came to Christ in Matthew 24 and said, tell us when the end of this age will be. And in case you didn't know, Matthew 24 is a pretty long chapter because Jesus went on to tell them exactly what would happen at the end of this age, before the return of Christ to this earth to set up and establish the kingdom of God. One preacher told his congregation that the gospel of the kingdom of God, it's not for us today. Well, that's his opinion. That's some man's opinion, but what does the Bible say? As I say so often, on this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source of information about Jesus Christ and his teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible. Notice what Isaiah the prophet wrote. This is Isaiah 9, and verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, God's government, and his name shall be called Wonderful, capital W, Counselor, capital C, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This passage says that a child is born for us. This is for you. This is for humanity. This is for civilization. And it says God's government would be placed upon this child's shoulders. Verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God will perform this. This government and the peace it produces will increase. He'll rule from the throne of David. So wherever God's church is, you're going to be hearing a lot from that church about God's government, about royal rule, about the throne of David, about judgment and justice coming out from that throne. This is from my father's new book, The Key of David. He says, the government administered from that throne, the throne of David, is what ushers in the peace. There will never be peace on earth or anywhere else unless it is administered from David's throne. You need the throne of David. Today we're offering the incredible human potential, and also we have a reprint about the kingdom of God, an important reprint. It's got two articles in it, by the way. What is the kingdom of God? Why should you be curious? Why should you study into the Bible about the kingdom of God? Especially when so many preachers just ignore the subject. Well, these are important pieces of literature. They're offered without cost or obligation. And I also would just mention the Key of David booklet. If you want to study more about the throne of David, it's mentioned right here in Isaiah's prophecy. This is for the end time. He's talking obviously about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Revelation 19, read it. Born to be king. You heard it from the cold open from Mr. Armstrong. Jesus before Pilate. Yes, I was born to be king. But it wasn't of this time or this age that he was to set up his rule. He qualified in the first century, but he's coming back to rule from the throne of David, to remove Satan from off the throne of this earth, and to rule this earth with a rod of iron. Revelation 2, Revelation 3. I could put 100 scriptures before you if you'd like to delve into this subject. At least get started with Incredible Human Potential, the Kingdom of God reprint, and the Key of David, if you like. The Key of David booklet says here, the Key of David vision includes the history about Christ's physical family, the lineage of David, and the prophecies concerning his own future rule as King of Kings in the world to come. Included in the Key of David vision is the knowledge of our own mind-expanding future of sharing Christ's throne. I mean, this almost makes your head explode to think about what God is offering to mankind. You can see why David, in Psalm 8, and it's referenced in Hebrews 2, you can see why David prayed, you know, what is man that you're even mindful of us? Why do you care about us? Why are you interested in us? Well, you have to look into God's purpose. Just back up to Isaiah 7. It says in verse 13, and he said, hear you now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this virgin birth is prophesied in the book of Isaiah. And there were all kinds of prophecies pointing to the arrival of Jesus Christ at his first coming. There's even more prophecies that point to his second coming. And here again, you hardly hear this in the world of religion. The virgin birth, the sign of Emmanuel. My father wrote back in 2021, surely such an important name would cause anyone with any interest in the Bible to begin to ask some questions. What is that all about? Why is it important? What makes this subject of the deepest depths and the highest heights? He encourages you to get into John 1, and you see just how close God and the Word were for all eternity. And then the Word, he came in the flesh, John 1 and verse 14. And by doing so, through the Virgin Mary, born a human being, he became the Son of God. And God became his Father. This miracle birth is talked about here in Luke 1. Notice Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph and of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So Joseph and Mary were both of the house of David. You can see more on the genealogies in Matthew 1 and Luke 3. That was important to God. Even for, you know, who would be the stepfather of Jesus. God was his real father in the spiritual and physical sense. But both Joseph and Mary were of the line of David, the tribe of David, their lineage, their heritage, it went right back to the throne of David, which we just read about in Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, and you see about it here in Luke 1 as well. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." This was a wonderful woman of the highest character, a God-fearing woman. She feared God. She strove for righteousness. She lived according to the Bible. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." God was orchestrating all of this, all of these miraculous events, down to the time, the location, the season, all of this, when the Christ child would appear. It was a prophesied event, a miraculous event. The hand of God was hard at work here. Verse 31, "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Notice this. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest," the Son of God. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So he's going to rule from a throne. A king rules from a throne. That throne is the throne of David. Notice his reign is talked about in verse 33. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Why do people want to spiritualize this away? Why is it that we can look at, you know, any kingdom on this earth and understand that, okay, you've got a king, you know, you've got territory, a kingdom, you've got subjects, and then you've got law, the king administering law. That's easy to understand. But why do people want to spiritualize it away when it comes to God's kingdom? Why do they want to say then, well, the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, it's not so much for us today. Or it's just a sentiment, a feeling that you have in your heart. This reprint, once again. What is the kingdom of God? Just what is it? It gives you all of the scriptures that you need to begin to put the puzzle pieces together. And of course, Mr. Armstrong in The Incredible Human Potential talks a lot about the coming kingdom of God. And you can study a lot into the throne of David in that new booklet, The Key of David. Notice verse 34. It says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She was a virgin. How am I going to get pregnant? Well, this was of God. Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you." The Holy Spirit is God's power. We had another program recently on the subject of God's Spirit, God's power. God is not a trinity of three beings in one. God is a family. And you see that in the Father-Son relationship. That's right there at the beginning of John's Gospel, John 1. You see it here. He's going to be the Son of the Highest being God, who's now the Father, because Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Father, Son, the church is called the wife of Christ. Isaiah talks about the bride of Christ having children. Father, Son, wife, children, family. Ephesians 3:15, read that. The truth of God is so plain, and yet Satan, he loves to make it confusing and complicated. He loves it when preachers just spiritualize away the truth and say, you know what? I know Jesus preached the kingdom of God, but that doesn't really apply to our time. No, it does. It absolutely does. It says in the Bible that God changes not. It says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. God's kingdom is real. God's kingdom's about to be established on this earth. The king has qualified. And the bride of that king is in the process of qualifying right now. such an awesome purpose. And yet, why do the churches of this world never mention so many of these scriptures? I mean, millions of people have attended church or services for years in some cases, and they've never even heard some of these scriptures about the Holy Spirit being the power of God, about Jesus preaching the kingdom of God, what a kingdom is, how that Jesus is a king. He was born to be a king. What does a king do? What are his responsibilities? What kind of authority does he have? I mean, these are questions that you should be curious about, at least. Hopefully enough to request our free literature, The Key of David, The Incredible Human Potential, and just what is the kingdom of God? Notice John 18 and verse 33. Later, we'll get to the verse that Mr. Armstrong mentioned in that clip that I played for you at the start. Pilate, it says, entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And then down in verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." The Greek word for world is, it's referring to a system of the age of man's way. My kingdom, God's kingdom, is not of this world, this age of man. The age of man underneath the sway and influence of Satan the devil. God's kingdom is not of this world. And yet Jesus here is admitting to having a kingdom. Yeah, that's why I was born. Notice verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." It says, "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Now, this is plain as day in verse 37. Jesus here saying, admitting that he was born to be king. And I could give you a dozen other scriptures that say his gospel was the good news of the kingdom of God. The word gospel means good news. This is good news that the world needs. This kingdom is soon to be set up and established. It's not of this world, though. It's of the world to come, God's world. And we have all kinds of prophecies that we get into on this program, and especially on the Key of David program, which also plays on television stations all over the world every weekend. Prophecies leading up to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. This next clip that I have, it's Mr. Armstrong referring to this passage in John 18, which we just went through. Notice clip 2.
"And in John 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore, before whom he was on trial for his life, Pilate was the Roman governor there, and Pilate therefore said to him, 'Art thou a king then? Are you a king? We don't hear Jesus preached as a king today, only as a savior.'" Well, of course he was a savior. I'm not denying that. But he was so much more. He was a king. Let's get that phase of it. "And Jesus answered, 'Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should give witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.'" He said, "I am a king." To that end was he born, to be a king. We don't hear that preached very much. Now, the verse just ahead of it said, however, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," that is, of this present time, of this age. It was of another time that is still ahead of us.
It's of another time, as Mr. Armstrong said there. Notice Revelation 11. Revelation 11. When Christ returns to this earth as supreme ruler, as you can see from this passage, you can see it from Zechariah 14, you can see it in many places, the governments of this world will cease to exist. Now, that's hard for us to wrap our minds around. We're so accustomed to worldly things, worldly government. And there's all kinds of different forms in the world today. And none of them work, in case you haven't noticed. But God's government does. And God's government, God's kingdom, is about to replace all of the governments on this earth. And Revelation 11 brings this out. Just listen to these words. Revelation 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms, plural, of this world. Now, that's not hard to understand. Okay, yeah, the kingdoms of this nation and this one over here, that nation, that government. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Just like it says in Luke 1, just like it says in Isaiah 9, the zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this. The kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Jesus Christ was born to be king. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Mr. Armstrong wrote this in his book, Mystery of the Ages. He said, this makes completely plain the fact that the kingdom of God is a literal government, even as the Chaldean Empire was a kingdom, even as the Roman Empire was a kingdom. So the kingdom of God is a government. It is to take over the government of the nations of the world. That's right. That's the plain truth of the Holy Bible. Listen here to my father's Key of David program. This goes back to 2017, clip 3.
Notice Revelation 11 and verse 15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That means he's going to rule with his government and his law forever and ever. And that's when this beautiful world tomorrow is going to be ushered in. The kingdom of God is a government that rules over the nations of the world. That's what the kingdom is all about. That's the good news that Christ was talking about. He's the king over that kingdom. He came and qualified to kick Satan off his throne, and he's about to do that after he's developed some people that will be his helpmeet, his bride, and help him teach and rule over the entire world in the millennium. Now, that's that 1,000-year period. But it's not some ethereal idea in the mind of a man. It's a real, specific, literal kingdom, just like Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Only ruled by God, just like Alexander's kingdom, only ruled by God. That's the difference.
That's the difference. It's a literal kingdom. But with Christ as the head, with Christ as the king. Now, verse 18, we were just going through Revelation 11. My father alluded to it there. Verse 18 says that the nations were angry and your wrath has come. There's going to be a big battle when Jesus returns with his heavenly army because the nations are angry, and you can understand why. Look at how much resistance there is to true religion. Look at how much love there is for this world and the things of this world. Even governments that have failed over and over again, we still try the same old formulas. And here we're living in a world that's about to explode in violence. But that's not the end. Thank God for that. Notice Revelation 19. It says in verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. He has to make war because nations are going to be angry. Nations are going to fight against the establishment of God's kingdom. That's how much built-in hostility there is to God and his law and his purpose and his plan. We have to submit. Human civilization has to surrender to God, and then we'll finally have peace under the government of God. It says in verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." So here comes Christ on a white horse with heavenly armies. This is the truth of the Bible. This is New Testament theology and prophecy. Sure words of prophecy. Verse 15, "And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This is what it takes for man to finally be ruled by God of all things, by Jesus, the King of Kings. You see that in verse 16. "And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Jesus was born to be king. Jesus was born to be king of God's coming kingdom. Jesus' gospel message was about the soon coming kingdom of God. Jesus told his students, his disciples, about when this present age or world would end and when God would establish his kingdom on this earth. For much more on that subject, make sure you request this reprint, "What is the Kingdom of God?" And then, of course, there's a lot more detail if you want to study the incredible human potential. There's so much in this book about the true gospel, about the coming kingdom, about Jesus Christ, who was born to be king. Well, that's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.
What is the Kingdom of God? Some believe the kingdom is in your heart or that it will be set up in heaven. But what does the Bible teach? Order our free reprint, "What is the Kingdom of God?" to discover the clear answer to this question. God's kingdom will be a literal world-ruling government established on this earth. What is mankind's role in this kingdom? Can you be part of it? Order the incredible human potential to discover the real gospel message of Jesus Christ, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That message, when fully understood, reveals the most necessary facts about humanity: what man is, why mankind was put on earth, where we are going, what is the way to world peace, what is the awesome human potential, and how it may be achieved. Answers to these questions form the most important knowledge ever made accessible to man. The whole world has been deceived regarding the awesome purpose of human life. You can know the truth. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the reprint article, "What is the Kingdom of God?" and our free book, "The Incredible Human Potential." Order now.